Good morning, church family. What a blessing it is to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Come together to worship together, to give God praise, to thank Him for the grace and mercy that He so freely extends to us. Special welcome to all our visitors this morning. Glad you're here with us, and I know that you will be blessed. We're going to open our service this morning with hymn number, for those of you that may have a hymnal, 562, but it is Be Thou My Vision. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Just stand.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best star, by night or by day, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true one, I ever with Thee and Thou with me.
Continue with our worship service by singing the hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and have told Thy love to me. But I long to arrive at the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be less than Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are tides of joy that I may not reach till I rest in hope with Thee. Draw me near, cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Amen.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning thankful to gather together in Your name, Father, just to rejoice and praise You. Father, we thank You for those that are assembled here in Your name. We ask your blessing upon those that are here today and ask your kind will upon those that are traveling as they leave the sanctuary today headed to their various places. Father, these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, let me reiterate, we've got a lot of new faces this morning. It's lovely to have all of you with us. If you did not receive a bag with a visitor's card in it, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Otherwise, please fill out that visitor's card so that we can have a record of your visit. In the way of announcements this morning, Brother Jerry resumed his Sunday school class this morning. And from what I understand, we had 9 people this morning. So if you were like me and couldn't get going this morning, we'd invite you to come next Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school. The deacons will meet next Sunday in the pastor's office at 8:45 a.m., Brother. Brother Robert, 8:45. All right. That's a change because we've been meeting at 9:30, so. We continue to encourage the use of masks and social distancing. We don't want to spread or unnecessarily infect anyone with this virus. It's a horrible virus, and we just pray that God will keep it out of this fellowship. One other announcement that's not in your bulletin this morning is Michael Haver, our very own Michael Haver, will be performing in the Heritage High School production of Footloose this coming weekend. Opening night is Friday, and one of his parts includes the opening line of the show. So if you're so inclined to go see some high school theater, please do so. If you need information, you can see Jamie or Michael, and they'll get it for you. Raise your hand, Mike, so everybody knows who you are. There you go. All right.
Mr. Dairy Queen.
Also, today is my mother and father's 60th wedding anniversary. Neither one of them are able to be here because of health issues this morning, but do want to give that shout out to them because not very many people these days make it to 60 years. So that's a big accomplishment. In the way of prayer this week, Beverly Swafford's sister, I believe it is, right, Beverly? LaWanda Taylor has had tumors discovered on her kidneys. She's undergoing some tests and hopefully can have them removed. LaWanda's husband, Earl, has cancer of the small intestine. He was undergoing chemotherapy, but he had to stop due to low blood count as well as blood clots in his legs and lungs. Let's remember those in prayer. I had a praise this morning from Miss Mary. Randy, right? Randy had the little stent removed that he's been giving himself IVs for the last 6 months or so, I believe, to get things done. So he's able to rest now without having to worry about getting up and putting an IV in. So that is a big praise. Randy's had a lot of issues that we've had him on the prayer list for, and it's just awesome that God has answered our prayers and Randy is improving. So thank you for your prayers. While we're on prayers, we have the new website live thanks to Brother Chad and Misty. If you go on there, you'll notice there's a prayer wall. So what we're going to do is we're going to be moving towards that prayer wall. Now, if you don't have internet access, don't worry about it. You can still text Jamie your prayer request, and she'll get them up on the prayer wall and make sure that everybody knows that we need to be praying for you, okay? One of the features of this prayer wall that we found really interesting was if you go on the prayer wall and you pray for somebody, you can click on pray for this prayer, and it will send the person who put the prayer on the wall an email that says that your prayer is being prayed for. So that is an awesome feature on that new website.
And I put Beverly's prayer on there, and I got over
20
emails
from people. So that is awesome. 20 people are praying for Beverly.
Can you use it on your cell phone?
You can. Yep. Also, I have a card here from Nedra on behalf of Walter and the family, and it's addressed to the ladies. And it reads, ladies, most sincerely thank you for the wonderful table that you prepared for us. You all have a heart of gold and are always showing your support and love for one another. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Nedra. All right, so if you'll turn with me now to Matthew 18, 23 through 35, I will be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. It's printed in your bulletin, or if you want to just turn in your Bible, follow along with me. Here's that word, and Brother Chad will talk more about this later, but it starts off with therefore. We all know what that means. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. In the Greek, it says 10,000 talents. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." May God bless the reading of his word. Brother Jerry.
You may have noticed that we have added one song to our worship service. So we have two praise and worship songs that we open our service with, and two songs in terms of the call to worship that I've got that wrong. Call to worship, open our service, two songs. Praise and worship, two songs. And part of what we're doing is we're trying to add more to our service and be God-honoring with our music as well. And you know there are 817 songs in our hymnal? 817. And I think we have room for a few new songs. And so that's what this effort is going to be this morning. I've added a section called the Song of the Month. And we're going to start off the month with a new song that we have not sung before. And it will be part of our worship service through the following month. So at the end of the month, we should be able to sing this song and know it very well. And our first song of the month is going to be hymn number 567. It's called Nearer, Still Nearer.
Hold me, oh, hold me.
reach over and give yourself a pat on the back. You did a good job. All right. It'll come. It'll come, and we'll know it. We'll know it by the end of the month. Just a closer walk with thee. That's an important one, too, right? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who can? Who with me my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom's shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Our special music this morning is a video selected by Brother Chad.
Impact on me. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant.
Megan is a very joyful child and had a heart of gold, beautiful, loved people, loved her family, just a joy of my life. And when she was 20 years old, on May 11th, 2002, my sister-in-law came to the door to tell me that Megan had been in a car accident and she didn't make it. You know, my heart was so broken, and I looked at her and said, "No, you're kidding," and, you know, still looking for her to tell me that she's, this is not really true, that Megan wasn't coming back home.
Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. After Renee lost her daughter, she said she found herself in the darkest place she'd ever been. This guy Eric was behind bars, but she said she felt like the prisoner. Why? Because she had all this bitterness and hatred built up towards that young man. And so, she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, "I forgive you." The the ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years.
He told me that day, the day of the hearing, that it didn't matter at this point. He said, you know, if the judge does not grant this for me, I want you to know that I am so grateful that you are willing to do this. And he said, and I will be okay. He said, I'll be fine. But he was blown away by the fact that we were willing to go before the judge and you know, plead for him to not have to be there for 22 years.
It's the hardest thing to give away, the last thing on your mind today, and it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.
I was more than angry at Eric. I had so much rage inside of me, and yet the moment that I was able to look Eric in his eyes and tell him that I forgive him, you know, that was a moment that healing began for both of us.
It's always anger's own worst enemy. And even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness.
A judge and a jury telling you that it's okay to hold a grudge. You know, that's what the world says. It's okay for you to feel that way, which it is. But yet, those feelings, they're inside of you, eating away at you, and you don't want to live your life that way.
Forgiveness.
To them, I'm sorry for what I did, or I take responsibility for what I did, and you still have to forgive if you want to heal.
It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
You're not letting go of what happened. You know, it is wrong. It should never have happened. It is not okay. It doesn't mean that you're canceling any of that out. But once you are able to say those words and truly mean it, you know, then you do find that you're setting a prisoner free, and the prisoner truly is you.
Show me how to love, be unlovable. Show me how to reach, be unreachable.
Inspired by Renee's story when I read it. But it took me a while to write her song. I kept her story in my guitar case for about 2 years. I realized the reason why it was so difficult to write this song, Forgiveness, is because it's kind of hard to live that out. That's why the words of the chorus are sung in the form of a prayer. God, show me how. Help me to do the impossible. This story of forgiveness really makes me think that there's some pretty life-defining questions that all revolve around that one word, forgiveness. Questions like, is there somebody that I need to forgive? That I've been holding on to a grudge and it's weighing me down. Every step's getting heavier and I just need to set it free. Another question is there someone that I need to go and ask for forgiveness from? To say, I'm humbling myself, I'm sorry, no excuses, can we start over? Another forgiveness question, one that Eric has had to deal with in prison, is can I ever forgive myself? What if loving the unlovable means having to learn how to love that person you see when you look in the mirror? Sometimes that's not an easy task, which really leads to the most significant forgiveness question of all, and it's this. Have I ever let it really sink in? The message of God's forgiveness, what he's done for me through his son Jesus dying on a cross for my sins. Renee stood before that judge, along with all of her family members, taking turns, speaking on behalf of a guilty criminal, and seeking mercy for him. I'm reminded that somebody has done that for me, somebody has done that for you. His name is Jesus. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why did he do that? So that our stories could discover the healing, the victory, the redemption, the power, the freedom of one word, forgiveness.
Pray with me. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We ask for your cleansing. As we are in your sanctuary, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be free, to move about in our hearts and our minds, to draw us to you, to let us focus on what it means to offer forgiveness, because you gave it to us. Father, this time is yours. Let the words that are be spoken be yours. Let us hear what you want us to hear. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Of all of Jesus' parables, some of them you really have to stop and think about and try to figure out what is he trying to teach us. And others are laser sharp. You get it. This is one of those. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can... Wait a minute. What'd you hear there? Therefore. It means Jesus was talking about something else already. If you look up two verses, Peter is asking Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? Now remember, we're talking about a society at this time that is very legalistic. They are very much in tune to keeping the rules. There's a number. Remember, I put Jerry on the spot a few weeks ago and asked him how many rules did they have to keep. He was correct. I looked it up on the way home. He was correct. They're used to keeping rules, okay? And so Peter wants to know, what do I got to do? How many times do I have to do it? Because I want to make sure I get it right. Is it seven?
Seven times 70.
Seven times 70. So Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him.
In the process, one of the debtors who was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, he couldn't repay it. So the master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged, "Please be patient with me. I will pay it." Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. Millions of dollars. I don't know about you, but it's a debt that I couldn't pay in a lifetime. And he was handed forgiveness, paid in full, given to him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's go on. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me, I'll pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until he could pay the debt in full. The hypocrisy of that strikes us. How could you possibly act that way? Right? You have in one hand a paid in full for a debt that you could never pay. Millions and millions of dollars. And one of your fellow servants has a small debt. And you want payment. When you start to look at this parable close and you start letting it examine your heart, you realize Jesus is talking to us. This parable is about us. It's about you and I. Jesus paid a debt for us that we could never repay. Ever. Unfathomable that we could even come close. And yet we won't forgive each other. You see, what we want from God is grace and mercy for what we did to Him. And what we expect is justice for what was done to us. Let's keep going. Verse 31, when some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. They went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you this tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid the entire debt. Verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is such a struggle for us. It is such a struggle to realize, first of all, what Jesus did for us. And let it resonate through you in terms of the things that are done to me by my friends, by my spouse, by my church members. And I want some kind of justice. There are a lot of times where you are 100% right. 100%, and you have the right to hold a grudge. And you have the right to expect things. And Jesus says, forgive it. Forgive it because I forgave you. Why is that so hard? Why is that so hard to just turn loose? I want to illustrate this to you because What I want to do is talk about what happens when we don't forgive. We talk a lot about forgiveness, but what happens when we don't forgive? Let me illustrate it to you. At the moment that you are hurt or wronged, the moment that someone does something to you that they shouldn't have, there's a transaction that takes place. Okay? At the moment that happens, you get a bag. They give you a bag. Now, you can't get rid of this bag. You have to take it with you everywhere. It's yours. And you think, well, I'll give it back to them. So you try to hurt them in some way, hurl some insult. The only thing that happens is now you've given them a bag, and you still have your bag. Does that make sense? And you're stuck with it. The only way to get rid of this bag is to give it to Jesus. He's the only person who can take it. Otherwise, you have to carry it from now on. Now, the thing is, the more this happens to you, and the more forgiveness you don't give, you get a collection of bags. Okay? Understand, Jesus will not take this bag from you. He desires that you give it to Him, but He will not take it from you. What He desires is that you and I be like we're at the airport and we are that guy or that girl who's behind the counter. When you check in and hand them your bag, they don't hold it. They immediately put it on a conveyor belt and it's gone. Okay? Every time somebody hurts you, every time somebody offends you, every time somebody does something wrong to you, Jesus is standing there with you with an open hand and He wants this bag. Okay? Now here's something else you have to understand, because He's not going to take it from you, is that this bag comes between you and Jesus. Okay? So the more bags that you get, the further you get from Jesus. He didn't move. You collected a bunch of bags that are between you and Him. Well, you say, what's in the bag? They can be different. There's a lot of similarities between them, though. Let's just open one. Oh, here's a good one. You ever ask this question about what's in your bag? Why did they do that? Why would they act that way? Why would they treat me like that? There's always the question, why, in there. There's usually some anger in the bag. Oh. There's almost always hurt. It's in the bag. There's pain. Sometimes there's pride. Like I say, every bag is different and it has a collection of your emotional pain that is collected. And you put it in here. And you take this bag with you everywhere you go. What about you? What's in your bag? Where'd you get it? Maybe for some of you, you got it at church. Maybe in this room, you got it. And you've been carrying that thing and carrying that thing. Maybe in your marriage. I've been married for 30 years. I can tell you this, if you don't give a lot of forgiveness, you're going to get a lot of bags. Right? You get a lot of bags. If you don't offer it up, man, you better be throwing that stuff at Jesus as quick as she's throwing it at you. maybe it's a coworker, a friend, a family member that hurt you years ago, and you've been hanging on to this bag. You don't look at it every day, but you'll open it and you'll go through it on occasion. And you know what you're looking for? You're looking for answers. There are no answers in these bags ever. All you ever get when you open it is anger, hurt, pride, pain. You just swell those feelings up again. What Jesus wants is for you to give Him that bag and walk away. Aren't you tired of carrying it? You can get so many bags, you look like me coming in here this morning. And you're trying to shove those in the pew beside you. That's why some of you can't sit close to people, because you got so many bags. Kidding. There is freedom in putting this baggage down and walking away from it. I promise you, you will never find an answer. The wrong will never be righted. When you look at the parable that Jesus is teaching us, He's saying, look what I did for you. Now put it down and walk away. But, yeah, you're right. You are 100% right. It should have never happened. Your spouse should have never treated you that way. Your church member should have never said those things. You're 100% right. And 100% wrong for carrying that bag. Because Jesus is waiting there with an open hand and saying, give it to me. Let me have it. Here's what's going to happen. In just a few minutes, Gail and Jerry are going to come. We're going to have an invitation. Here's the invitation. Okay? I want you to walk out of here with freedom. Some of you have been carrying a bag or several bags for a long time. You need to draw a line in the sand. And you need to say, I'm going to put that down. I'm going to give it to Jesus, and it's not mine anymore. So when Jerry starts singing, what I want you to do is walk down this aisle and figuratively just drop your bag here and leave it and walk away. You're going to say, oh, what will people think of me? Listen, we're not going to be that kind of church. Okay? Because I'm going to make a statement for everybody in this room. We're going to make the commitment to pray for you. Because on that door out there, when you come in, it says sanctuary entrance. This is God's. What also should hang out there is rehab meeting. Because every one of us is in rehab for being a sinner. So, I'm talking to somebody today, and I want to get in your kitchen and rattle a few pots and pans for a minute, okay? You've been toting this bag for a long time. I want you to envision you and I standing in front of a full-length mirror, okay? You look at me. I look nice. You look at you. You look nice. Except for this bag. Or maybe you got several of them. I want to ask you a question as we stand there. You see, I was raised in the Deep South, and I'm a gentleman. I'll carry my wife's bag. I'll open the door for her. I'll carry your bag. But there's enough redneck in me that my wife will tell you that I can be quite stubborn. I'm going to put that bag right down. If you hurt me, I ain't carrying your bag. So why are you carrying the bag of somebody that hurt you? Put that sucker down and walk away. So we're going to have an invitation. The invitation is to get rid of that bag. All you have to do is walk down here, figuratively drop it, and walk back. Okay? With freedom. If you see anybody walk down here and drop a bag, I want you to commit to pray for them, because here's what's going to happen, and I can promise you this. Before you get to the car, Satan's going to run behind you. You forgot your bag. You forgot your bag. Tell Satan to go home. Okay? And that bag belongs to Jesus. It's not yours. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you provided for us forgiveness for everything we have ever done and will ever do. And Father, I ask that you forgive us for all the baggage that we've been carrying, for all the forgiveness that we didn't offer, and how it's pushed us from you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have reign in this room, and that we would fill this altar with bags, that we can walk out of here with freedom. Freedom to love, freedom to forgive, and freedom to move on with our lives, that we can be much closer to you and much closer to the people that we love. Amen. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.